Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer back tomorrow. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. A couple of quick ones. One, as we're talking about the 116-year-old nun and whether or not her grandchildren were still alive. Someone pointed out on X that nuns don't have children or grandchildren, so we didn't pick up on that.
My bad.
Particular thing. My bad as well.
But you get the point that someone would be 50 years younger than her very well might be gone already.
Yeah, true.
Or 40 years younger.
That's right. Maybe friends of hers, grandchildren, who knows? But yeah, the point's still made. And then also
maybe she stepped out on the church once in a while. You never know.
True.
I doubt it, but you never
don't
know.
We don't know for a fact. And also, Andy Gresh, talk show host, just did that Odyssey Sports Minute. And just a little WFAN fun fact here about Andy Gresh. So Eddie Scazzeri is a hugger. He hugs everybody. And generally with the men, he doesn't do this with the women, not all the time, but he'll pick up people when he hugs them. And he picks up just about everybody. Picks up me. I've seen him actually get Boomer in the air. Picks up everybody. That's what he does. He grabs you. It's a wonderful hug, and he lifts you off of the ground occasionally. Andy Gresh, the only man Eddie was never able to get up into the air. That's right.
How about that?
And I don't know if you tried to get Bull or not, but Gresh, you never made it with him.
Yeah, I only tried the one time because we really don't, our paths don't cross.
Yeah.
But I was unprepared for the
weight.
Yes, but specifically, he was really dense. Lower half.
Yeah. Do you want one more crack at him? Is that like your white whale? Is that your Moby Dick lifting Andy Gresh up into the air?
Yeah, if the opportunity arose. But I'm not going to go seek it out.
Yeah. Well, you never know. He might pop in here at some point, and then you got to be like, get over here. Let's go.
He just popped in on the Sportsman. It could be down the hall one day next week. Who knows?
You never know. You absolutely never know. So I saw you had some numbers in front of you earlier there, Jerry. And I'm wondering, what are all, you're a math guy. You got all these numbers in front of you. And I'm like, what is this about?
Are we talking about my son's arm?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so because of the news yesterday with Garrett Cole over the weekend with the Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Just joining us. The idea that it's very possible he is going to need Tommy John surgery. And it's been recommended, I believe, by one doctor already that he goes through with it and does that. And I know they're getting a second opinion. I have always been one of belief that, you know, when you look at pictures from the 60s, 70s, 80s, money for sure has an influence on whether they continue to pitch or don't pitch, pitch through pain, not pitch through pain. Same thing with the position players. But I also am a firm believer in we simply didn't play as much baseball as we do now at a young age. And I know this is a conversation that bores a lot of people, but I did think it was very interesting to the point. So when I played in the spring. And then if I was good enough to make the All-Star team, I would play in one or two summer league tournaments. And that was it. And then you were ramping up for football or soccer in the fall. You played basketball in the winter and you got ready for baseball again in March. Now, having gone through it for 15 years coaching both of my kids, it is basically an 11-month out of the year sport for kids. And I have coached enough games and enough kids to where I have seen kids play one, two, three teams at a time. Hmm. I've seen kids pitch on Friday, come back and pitch on Sunday, and who knows if they pitched on Saturday for another team. So I thought that it would be fun, just Because to me, I feel like a body is like a car. If you put oil in a car, the car's not going to run right. If you don't feed your body right, you're not going to operate right. And like a car is going to have wear and tear. I think the body's the same way. So there's a cool app if you're into youth sports and baseball called Game Changer. And what Game Changer does, it took the place of the scorebook. You score everything on the phone on an app, which also includes pitch count. So we started with Game Changer in 2020.
Okay.
So I was able to look at 2020, which was that was the pandemic year. So it was no spring, but we played summer ball and fall ball. 2021, 22, and then 23. He also pitched in 18 and 19. I don't have any of those numbers. I don't have the numbers from last year. I did not abuse my son by any stretch. I promise you that. And we were very diligent with pitch counts. And, you know, is it a grind for them? Like, I think Jacob DeGrom works really hard when he throws. Other guys throw free yeah. easy. What would you think would be he's only 14 right now, going to be 15. He's going into freshman ball. How many pitches in those seasons do you think he, nice form, Al. What do you think the number would be?
We're talking about total or in each season?
I'm talking total, summer of 2020 through 23. What do you think the number is?
Oh, my God. I can't even.
I don't know if I was shocked or not by it, to be quite honest.
15,000?
No. But it was almost 7,000 pitches.
Okay, yeah.
That's for a kid who's 14 that hasn't even reached high school yet. My point is, by the time these guys, because it's all changed so much, and I didn't abuse him. He didn't throw twice a week. It was once a week max, and the number was still 7,000 pitches for those three seasons. My point is, you're now Garrett Cole. My guess is he probably pitched like this as a kid through high school.
Yeah.
Now in the pros, I mean, it's like having a car that's got, 800,000 miles on it. So it doesn't shock me that this is happening more and more, because they are now playing more than ever and across multiple teams, multiple, seasons. And it's too much. I really do believe it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, and think about a guy like Garrett Cole's been on teams ever since he left the Pirates that have gone deep into the postseason yeah. every single year. He's a power pitcher. He throws hard. And then the season, he's throwing hard into October, and then he's starting to throw the ball again in February.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Now,
it's not a lot of time off.
And it's amazing to me, though, there isn't somebody out there who is changing something that has to do with when these guys throw. Because everybody's still doing the same stuff, and there's mm-hmm. pitching labs and this and that. But as far as, like, this is your throw day, and this is when you start throwing in spring training, none of that has changed.
These
guys are still getting hurt.
And on top of everything I just said, now these guys are throwing harder. Well, who was the pitcher the other day?
He's got 18 pitches. I mean, give me a break.
Right.
But they are. They're fooling around with the ball. They're fooling around with the arm slot. I mean, everything is so unnatural. It's just, to me, it's a lot, and I don't know that it ever changes. To me, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, because these guys say, like, oh, we got to ramp up. We got to get to a certain place with the pitching and then the conditioning and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, how about just not throwing?
How about you add to the mix the warm-up pitches in the bullpen, the long tosses before games, just the random catch. I mean, you've got a baseball player, I would think, that started playing ball when he was like 8 years old, and now Garrett Cole is, what is he, 30? What did he say?
30, 5,
is he that
4.
Old? I was going to say 33, but okay, 34, whatever. So let's say for the last 20, he must have, like, I don't even know what the number would be, hundreds of thousands of throws on that arm.
Oh, God.
So I don't know. I don't know that there's ever going to be a right answer. Maybe again, back in the day, as they say, because money wasn't what it is and contracts were, maybe a lot of these guys threw a lot of these issues and we didn't know about it. That's certainly possible. I don't know. But what I do know is this stinks, that it's some big pitcher and it's multiple guys. It seems like every single year we go through this.
Well, I mean, this is why David Stearns has his theory on paying pitchers. Now, he obviously went and got a guy in Frankie Montas who has a injury history, and he's already hurt and he's going to be out for a while, and that kind of blew up in his face. But it's not, $50 million a year, $40 million a year for Frankie Montas. But this is why he doesn't do it, because there's just these guys, they pitch once every fifth day, and a lot of them get hurt.
Right, if you're lucky. They're out there once every fifth day.
Right. And they get hurt, and they're out for a long period of time, and Tommy John surgery and all of these things. I mean, you think about it, it is true. Like, you think about how many pitches he's thrown. It's not just the high leverage game pitches, like the side sessions, the long toss, all of these things. You ever think about how many times, what do you think the number is on how many times Tiger Woods has swung a golf club?
Oh, a million?
You think he got to a million?
I do. Yeah, of course. Tiger Woods is now, he's got to be in his late 40s at this point.
Yeah.
He's been playing since he's 3 years old. We saw, you know, all the those TV clips. And the way he practices, yeah, I would say it's fair to say he's probably swung a golf club a million times. Yeah.
It's wild to think about, isn't it?
I do.
Let's go to Jonathan in Scarsdale. What's going on, Jonathan?
So, I'm loving this discussion. Pitchers and hitters. You know, we've been able to, with nutrition and exercise and all this stuff, we're able to maximize human performance, but we're not able to maintain it there because people are like cars. I mean, they break down. You know, you can make an incredible race car, but they don't race every single day. And it's an important thing to realize. You can maximize people's performance. Look at all the hitters that, you know, Aaron Judge strains an oblique. Pitchers having Tommy John surgery at the age of 16. It's insane. I mean, we can maximize them, but people just can't be maintained at that level for long, long periods of time.
A lot of wear and tear. A lot of wear and tear.
Especially the way that the game of baseball is, too. I mean, it's just like, it's a lot of, you know, violence in throwing the ball and a lot of stopping and starting, and that's where a lot of those, you know, those soft tissue injuries happen, especially when you're talking about when it's cold in the beginning of the season, like that stuff. It's a different type of game, but they still shouldn't be getting hurt this much.
I agree.
It's still friggin' baseball.
I totally agree, and I do think a lot of guys shut it down, and the whole, oh, he's got a hangnail, he's not playing. All right, that's a little extreme, but there is a lot of things that guys don't fight through anymore because, quite frankly, they don't have to.
Yeah. And this is terrible news for the Yankees if he's out for the year, especially when you're talking about, you know, one of the main themes was the Yankees went out and got older players to come in this offseason and also paid a guy for many years that they didn't really need to in order to get him in the front end, and Max Fried, that they're going for it. You know, they know that the American League is down. They're going for it. They lost out on Juan Soto. They pivoted, and they brought in some older guys like Goldschmidt and said, you know, we've got Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge still in their primes at this point, and it's not going to be that way forever. And now you're going to lose out an entire year of Gerrit Cole. But that doesn't mean that this Yankee team's going to stink.
No, but also remember, too, Luis Gil got hurt a couple weeks ago as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this on top of that is just, it's not the way you want to start a season.
No, of course not. I mean, and Giancarlo Stanton misses so many games anyway, but he's probably going to be out for the year. So you're talking about Cole and Stanton out for the year. And that's just, and it's funny because, you know, Marcus Stroman, I'm not going to go to the bullpen. You know, we're going to trade you. And I mean, now he's a huge asset for them.
What did Brian Cashman say at that? We got 6 weeks to go. Who knows what it's going to be at opening day? Well, he's right.
Yeah, nerna.
I know. I know.
Nerna. Let's go to Jeff in Oregon. What's going on, Jeff?
Gary and Gio. Hey, I've called and I've talked to you guys a couple times over here in Portland early here, but... yeah, love the show, guys.
Thank you.
I'm surprised Al let you on. He hates Portland.
He does?
Yeah, he does not like Portland at all. He really despises it, actually.
I'm surprised you're not out.
What does he have? Oh, hey, listen, I don't like Portland right now very much myself. Got to be honest with you.
No, all good, Jeff. We're just busting some balls. What's up today?
You know, but I will say you can snow ski and water ski and surf all in like one day. We do have our, you know.
Like California cool in that regard, city. Exactly.
Yeah. So I was listening to you guys talk about kids pitching, and I'm a little older. I'm 51. Growing up, I played a lot of sports, but I think that helped for a couple reasons. You know, you play football, you play basketball, you ran track. You were more well-rounded, and then you just didn't abuse one part of your body. And you I think it helped. I don't know. It was just more. Now, today, these kids, I mean, it's just one sport. They get into it. My daughter rock climbs, and I feel like if she doesn't make a competition or a training, then she's out. It's just, it's the parents. They're going nuts. And it's so hard to watch. It's like you.
But Jeff, let me ask you something. Hey, Jeff, let me ask you this: what do you think is part of? And this is obviously a generalization. What has changed now in college sports that would make a parent want to see their kid become elite? College kids now get paid.
Right. I think it's even earlier than that. Well, I think it's might high
be,
school.
It might be, but now you don't have to be a pro athlete to get paid, and I think it's going to ramp up the mentality even worse in terms of insanity of all. And by the way, let me be the first one to sit here and say I'm guilty of it too, because against my, I shouldn't say this, I never liked the whole winter training thing.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was enough. We just finished playing, and like, you know, they play now until Veterans Day weekend.
Yeah. You were telling me.
So
wild.
If you start now in January with, I'm just talking about baseball, winter training, you're going all the way to November. You get like 6 weeks of dropping a ball on a bat and you're right back at it. It's like at some point you got to let it go.
Well, and just with the parents thing, if you think about it, there's a number of reasons. Of course, you want to see your kids succeed, and some parents are nuts and they're trying to live vicariously through their kids. But there are three big reasons why parents go crazy and push their kids to play and be better. One, scholarship. Don't have to pay for school.
Right, money.
Two, nil money.
Money.
Right, that you could get. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's...
What's three? You said there were three.
Is there
just crazy?
I don't know if there's a third one.
Okay, one and two are about right, though. Money.
Is there a third money thing? No, that's it, right?
Well, only if they turn pro.
Yeah, which is not, yeah.
Very, very rare.
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess live vicariously through. You want to see your kids succeed. But, you know, the two are the money.
Yeah,
two
the money.
Money.
The
scholarship and nil money.
And there are ultra-competitive people that just can't control themselves. We've seen this, too. Yeah. I've got instances that I could spend hours talking to you about that will blow your mind about parent behavior.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, I know. I mean, that's Rick Wolf is smiling down on us.
I know.
As we talk about particular topic.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is back. What's going on, Chris?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We've kind of got a little bit of a calm before the storm here. NFL legal tampering opens at noon today, though you did have plenty of activity throughout the course of the weekend, much of it surrounding the Seahawks, who of course traded Geno Smith to the Raiders, DK Metcalf to the Steelers, Metcalf getting himself an extension in Pittsburgh as well. And then we had the report from Adam Schefter this morning that the Steelers continue talking to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers has emerged as a quarterback option in Pittsburgh as well. So the Rodgers Steelers stuff expected to take place a little bit as the day goes along here.
Some talks. I mean, he is indeed meeting with them today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. We have full info on that now.
Or? Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that he's going to be there in Pittsburgh, but they may have gone to him or some neutral location. I don't know, but he is
interesting.
He's meeting with the Steelers today.
When I saw the Metcalf to Steelers trade, the first thing I thought of was Aaron Rodgers is going to the Steelers, but maybe not. We'll see. His buddy Devontae Adams going to the Rams. He gets himself a 2-year deal to join Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford in L.A. Some hoops, Nets, and Lakers tonight here on the Fan. Coverage at 7:20. The Knicks will continue their Western swing against the Kings in Sacramento. 10:30 tip. And Sacramento coming off an OT loss to the Clippers Sunday, where Kawhi Leonard made the buzzer-beating winner for L.A. Other notables from Sunday, Thunder over the Nuggets, 127-103. 40 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. OKC is up to 53-11, while the Cavs are 54-10 after they won at Milwaukee, 112-100. Also, Suns beat the Mavericks in Dallas, 125-116. Why is that?
Your phone keeps buzzing.
Oh, that's my wife texting me. Oh, boy.
I just noticed on the TV, it was boop.
Yeah.
Boop.
I'm going to not read that on the air. Okay. Tough times for the Mavs post-Luka trade. So they finished Sunday's game with only five available players.
I was going to say five fans.
Yeah, might be two.
Might be going to the fans to get some healthy bodies out there. So two guys got hurt during the game. Two others hit their minutes limit. So Jason Kidd was kind of working through all of this in his post-game presser.
Never seen this. Never been in a game that we could not take someone out to rest them because we had no one to put in.
Wow.
That's just, you know, the end of the bench, normally you can put someone in. If not in clothes, they were in the back getting stitches or could not move or walk, so it's tough.
Wow.
It's
tough.
Jeez. I mean, what a whirlwind couple of weeks for him. Jeez.
You got 12, on an NBA active, was it 12? On an active roster for a game?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You're going to tell me that's all they had was seven guys and two got hurt?
I guess, they would have had to, I guess, have nine. Because they finished with five, two got hurt, two others hit minutes limits. So I don't know. I mean, they have, obviously Anthony Davis has been hurt.
I know, and Kyrie's, I know, I get it.
Kyrie, man. Of course.
So. Minutes limit, so you could have played.
They could have.
That's from the story. I can't break down, you know, the Mavericks personnel and who's got what minutes limit, but
sure.
I just wanted to get to that fun soundbite.
So, I understand.
So there you
He's
go.
Just got to be like, what happened to
exactly.
us?
Exactly, yeah.
Man.
That's very things. Quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it all came crashing down. Big East tournament begins Wednesday. Seton Hall will be the 11 seed against Villanova. Winner of that one plays 3 seed UConn Thursday night. St. John's, of course, is the one. They will play the winner of Providence and Butler in the first game, noon Thursday.
Oh, noon. Oh, cool.
They get things started. That'll be the quarterfinal rounds. So the Johnnies finished off 27-4 regular season with an OT thriller at Marquette Saturday. Here's a little OT mink montage for you.
Richmond drives, holds up, side jump, go! 17-foot shot is good. R.J. Lewis straight ahead. In the middle, draws contact, scoops it up. No good. Tap is up and good by R.J. Lewis for three. Bingo here on the near side. Edgar looks it up and good at the buzzer. And St. John's wins. How about that? Wow.
I mean, this is like the movie Cocoon.
Like he has become young again.
I mean, Benjamin Button.
Yeah,
this is truly amazing how he sounds. He sounds like 15 years younger calling games with this team.
Yeah. We're waiting a long time for some excitement. You know?
Yeah. Well, he's got it now.
Yeah. And
make a huge deposit in the family fun bank. Like,
it's possible and very conceivable that he's calling games through this month.
Let's go there.
I mean, he's come a long way from leaving his house, walking to the train station, watching the train leave, not getting on it, and walking back to his house.
Sadly, those days are rapidly approaching again, though.
I mean, for all we know, he still does that on off days.
He doesn't sound like it. That he told us that story, that was a different Minko than the one we just heard in those highlights.
Yes.
I agree.
Different guy.
They ended up winning 86-84 on the Zuby Ejiofor buzzer beater. Meantime, we had overtime.
The problem for Mink isn't now. It's honestly, and he said this, it's April, May, June, July, August, September, waiting to get to bed. Because I really do believe once they start practicing in October, he's got somewhere to be and something to do every day, and he's fired up for it. It's the 6 months in between.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to the beach or surfing.
I don't think so.
You know, playing pickleball.
I love you all. God bless. Stay safe.
What was that on Zoom?
That was his sign-off.
No, but clearly wasn't here. He obviously was working at home, I imagine.
Phone. I'm not sure.
I mean, based on the audio quality.
That doesn't sound like he was here.
No.
I mean, that sounded terrible.
Did you pick up on that, Eddie? Major echo there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jerry.
Good. That sounded terrible, but all right.
It was probably during COVID.
It had to have been. I would certainly think so, yes.
She's just like, who cares?
No. I mean, there was a lot. I was waiting for Eddie to say something about the retirement hot air balloon or whatever you said.
Who said what?
I don't know. Eddie had this whole thing like during COVID. They like stuck her. Never mind.
Okay.
I'm not going to say.
All right.
But it was just because I was reminiscing about a funny Eddie line during COVID where.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think he got in trouble for that. So that's why I stopped.
Oh, great.
That's the thing. It's in Eddie's file.
Let's leave the file alone. Gio, you only got a year left.
Join me. You ready? Moving right along.
Moving right along.
75-67 Rutgers over Minnesota in OT yesterday. Scarlet Knights earned the 11th seed for this week's Big Ten tournament. They'll face USC in the nightcap Wednesday from Indianapolis. All right, Joe Beningo and analytics. We're never a match made in heaven, as you know. Specifically, Gio, where back in the day, you used analytics to pull one of your many on-air pranks on an unknowing and gullible
Flump.
Joe B.
Yep.
Gee, I'm going to read this.
Okay, go ahead.
Created by longtime sabermetrics guru, and I love this, longtime successful AGM. Oh, yeah, he's won a lot. Billy Bean, the stat of femoral leverage under max pressure. Let me say that again for those that, you know, may have trouble hearing this. It's called femoral leverage under max pressure, more commonly known to the people in the know as Flump.
Yes. All right, so we got that. Obviously, that wasn't a real thing. So maybe he still carries a scar from that day. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Joe, on his Saturday show this weekend, was chatting with one of his regular guests, longtime baseball reporter John Harper, now of SNY, one of my Sports Night colleagues. And Joe decided to start criticizing one of the contributors from that show for talking too much analytics, as it turns out.
One of the few guys I actually like on Sports Night. I love you and JJ. I won't get into, you know, too many of the other guys, but the one guy that's like Mr. Analytics, oh my God, don't even get me started on him. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
He comes up with stats I never heard before. You know what I mean?
I try not to force it down the audience's throat. When you start talking about, you know, WRC2, I think most people, their eyes glaze over. So
WRC2, you know what that sounds like? Some kind of a lubricant for your car.
He could have said sex.
Yeah, I know.
When I heard lubricant, I got a little nervous.
That's what that sounds like, if you know what I mean.
Who's he talking about?
He didn't out who it was, so it's not my place to out who it is. So listen, hasn't Joe gotten enough trouble for saying things on the air he's not supposed to say?
He didn't say it. Now I want to know who it is.
Want to be stuff about Robert Saleh is what I was just referencing.
Okay.
You know?
I just want to know who he's talking about.
Well, you got to watch the show and figure it out.
Seems to know.
This is how he starts his day. He's told me that many time I run into him. I watch you guys every morning. You know, that's what he does. He gets up, he puts on SNY, and he watches the replay of the night before show. So he's a regular viewer. He's got thoughts and opinions on everybody. So in this same conversation with Harp, I'm gonna make you feel better, okay? Because I'm not giving you the name, but you will enjoy the fact that Joe decided to take a swipe at me Saturday as well.
Yeah, I think sometimes he could use a little more personality. I'll say that.
I'll tell him that.
You could tell him. You're probably going to hear about it. I mean, I think sometimes he's a little too, like, serious, you know? You can't be so serious. You know what I'm saying?
You got to have fun with that.
You can't be so serious. I love CeeLo, but you can't be so serious, you know? You know me. I'm not serious about anything.
Yeah, well, except his sports.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like a John Harper, a barrel of laughs, right?
I was a little surprised. I mean, I laugh and smile. We have fun on that show. You know I love to laugh on this show. I don't strike myself as someone that's too serious.
No.
Maybe I am. Maybe
I don't really know you from that show, so it's hard for me to say. You're more serious there than you are here.
Listen, you got a much smaller amount of time to make your points. You kind of got to get to it a little bit. Now, here's where I think I run into issues sometimes as far as Joe's viewership or other people. I'm sitting there with JJ, who is, I mean, you want to talk about energy and the arms are flying all over the place and everything. So maybe from that standpoint, I'm not as loud, but I don't know about too
who's
serious.
This guy doesn't like? Oh, geez, there we go. I need to know this.
Good time trying. Good try time.
It's not,
to deflect.
It's fine. It's really not that hard because he does. If you watch the show at all, I will. Because I don't mind. It's not a secret. He does this on the show. I mean, he's big on stats and analytics. That guy's name is by the name of John Alba. John Alba, who's a fellow Quinnipiac grad like myself.
Wait, didn't you get in a fight with him?
He was the guy who was singing loudly at the Bruce Springsteen show and taking
selfies. You're kidding. Yeah.
But then, you got into Twitter beef with him?
Yeah, I didn't know he was on television.
Yeah, you were like, this is what ruined concerts, guys like this. And then didn't he come back with something like he almost died? And he
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's the guy.
That's funny.
So Joe's not a fan of the analytics that he'll drop sometimes.
This guy looks like one of these idiots that sings at a Bruce Springsteen show. You know what I mean? Like one of those guys that you're trying to have a good time and listen to music, and then him and his buddies are sitting there singing along and ruin it for you. I didn't come here to listen to you sing the songs, schmuck. I came here for him to sing the songs. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear you do this. Okay? I want to hear him do it. But anyway,
I do know Al was quite upset about that. Like, ruined his entire night.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't even at the show. I just saw it on social media. I was like,
were there.
No. I was just like, oh, this is the worst.
He was commenting because the video ended up on his timeline.
Oh, I got it.
Then there was a back
Speaking
and
of
forth.
That, did you see the girl at the college baseball game take the selfie of her butt?
Yeah.
No.
I did see that. Yeah.
Didn't catch that one.
The cameras were on her.
No. I did see the high school relay race where one gal hits the other over the head with a baton. Saw that one.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Coming around the final turn. Oh my God. All of a sudden she was just.
That's interesting that John Alba's not liked.
Well, by Joe.
By a lot of people. I don't.
Who's that?
Al and Joe and I didn't particularly like his response to Al. I thought that was you could add like a half of me in there. I thought it was a little dramatic what he wrote back there on social media.
Fair enough.
Funny.
All right, let's give a little love to the Devils as they did get themselves a victory on Sunday.
Now to Kovacevic, a wrister, that's off the stick of Tippett. And then the Devils are able to score. And how about Eric Halla? Does that feel good or what? Eric Halla, his first goal, his first point in 29 games.
That's quite the cold streak he was on, right?
So you think?
He was feeling pretty good. Devils win the game 3-1. He gets himself back on the goal sheet and then decides to get after a reporter a little bit post-game.
The defense is almost more important now with Jack Hughes out.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. You've been chirping about my goal scoring for the past couple months. So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, of course it's important.
Wow.
Good for him.
Question had nothing to do with him or his goal scoring. We made sure to wedge that right in there.
Young fought back.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, this guy's tuned in, I guess. Huh? What people are saying about
him. Guess so. Checks the mentions.
He said, you've been chirping about my goal scoring?
No, chirping.
Chirping. Okay, chirping. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. You've been chirping about my goal scoring for the past couple of months. So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, of course, it's important.
Past couple of months. That's what happens when you go 30 games without scoring. You know, people might chirp a little bit. So, that'll happen. But they did win. And they kind of stabilized things a little bit. A lot of injuries. And I was thinking they might come back to the pack and maybe open the door up for the likes of the Rangers or Columbus to get out of the wild card and into the third spot in the division.
There is.
The Islanders lost to the Ducks in Anaheim 4-1. Quickly wanted to bring this up. So from Saturday night's game, they played in San Jose and beat the Sharks. And there was a sequence in that game where the refs went over to review a play. You know, they do it on the monitors, their little video review. And the framing of the TV shot, and the guys at CBS Sports Network will have it here in a second. It's from behind. You see the backs of the officials, and they're over there by the glass, and they're looking things over. And look at the Sharks fan trying to slide him $100 bill.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Look at that.
That was a good job out of that Sharks fan. It didn't work.
They did not take the cash.
They did lose the game.
For the NBA, they would have.
Exactly. Rangers lost to the Blue Jackets 7-3. So a rough weekend as they played the two teams that are now directly ahead of them in the wild card race, Ottawa and Columbus. Four possible points. They only get one. Now they got to go on a road trip, including facing one of the top teams in the league, Winnipeg, which would be Tuesday night on the road. I'll tell you what, I'm normally an Arnold Palmer Invitational guy. Man, there was not a lot to get excited about with that yesterday.
I put together a miserable lineup on FanDuel, too. I think I had three of the bottom golfers. And then Russell Henley, who's as boring as could be.
Yeah.
wins this tournament.
He chips in and they were just coming back, I think, from break or out of a replay. So CBS Sports Network. No reaction. Yeah. Meanwhile, I come to read after the fact, he had said to his caddy, like, I don't think I can stop this on the green.
Yeah.
So you would think after having that opinion and then the winning putt even. No emotion.
$4 million win. Right. Takes his hat off. I'm like, golly.
And I've said this
to you. This is him winning the tournament.
And millions upon millions of dollars. All right, great.
Yeah. Hey.
I mean, a little life. Yeah, there you go. A hug from the daughter.
But this is what I've said now for the last couple of years. You want to know the negative impact of LIV? They've taken a lot of the guys that have personality away, and it's a hard watch.
I mean, this is why guys like me are watching Fat Perez instead of these things, because it's just no juice.
It's boring. And I love golf. It's boring.
That's not good.
No. I totally agree. And also the whole narrative yesterday of Colin Morikawa can't finish, and what does he do? He throws up on himself again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also, I mean, the guy did chip in for Eagle there.
I get it, but he also...
conservative, and it kind of came back.
His numbers came down. They didn't go up.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So now that we have John Sterling officially retired and Sam Rosen is going to be officially retired after this season, is there an undisputed New York play-by-play king after those two guys?
Howie Rose.
You think it's Howie? What about
that
Breen?
That was just top of mind.
What about Breen?
Yeah.
It's tough, right?
I think of Breen as the face of the NBA now. You're right, Knicks, yeah. Ian, Jesus.
It's tough.
Okay, there's Ian, there's
what
Mike,
about Gary
Howie,
Cohen?
Gary Cohen, yeah, okay, no, there's not. No, there's not a clear one.
All right, obviously that's why I thought about this. I was wondering if you would say there was a clear-cut one, because I don't think that there is. Now, if let's make a list for the hell of it here. Jerry, why not?
You also have Carino, who's been doing the Nets forever. I know you don't care about the Nets,
but he's
been doing
the Nets forever. He's awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying some people are like, oh, it's the Nets. Okay. So you got Carino, you've got Ian, you've got Breen, you've got Howie. All right.
Gary.
Those are pretty clear. Gary Cohen, we're pretty clear with like five right there. Just wow.
Yeah. So I would put Breen one.
Okay.
Just because he's doing
it. I don't know. Breen and Ian to me are one and one A. I don't know how you separate the two.
Well, I think I separate them by what games are calling. That's why. For me, personally, it's...
Okay, I mean, Ian's going to do the national championship game. Breen does the NBA Finals. Ian does NFL playoff games.
I mean, just locally
games.
For me, because we're talking locally.
Oh.
These guys, so for me, it's
then Breen it has to be Knicks. Breen, because Ian's doing the Nets.
All right, so I would go... I go Breen 1, then you got to kind of put Ian 2, even though the baseball guys are right there. There's your 1-2.
Sure, because you'd think Howie's going to be doing some pretty damn big games this year, too, like he did just 6 months ago.
Do you put Gary over Howie, though?
It's different. It's different. I mean, they're 1-1A to me.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I know you put Mike first because it's the Knicks, but Breen and Ian, as good as it gets.
Breen's been doing it a little longer. I'll give him an edge there, too. He has
not
been.
Not that much longer.
No, he has been.
Not that much. Breen took over the Knicks when he was working for Imus. Ian started doing the Nets. I mean, Ian's been doing it for a long time.
All right.
They're not that far off in age either.
Breen's 63.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have said 50, late 50s. What's Ian, 56?
56, yeah.
Okay. Remember, Breen had the Imus career first.
No, I know.
Before he got the Knicks job.
There's no wrong answer. I'm putting Breen 1. I put Gary over Howie. I do. Now,
okay.
I think it's different, 1-1A, but I do. I don't know. I just
Howie's really good though.
He's great. He's better than really good. But if I'm just making my list, that's where I'm going to go.
I can't. It's so far. I can't give you an answer on Ian or Breen. I can't. It's a tie to me.
You have to.
I can't. Because Breen, here's why, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I know we're talking about just the local teams. Okay, fine. Here's the issue, though. Breen is NBA, all NBA, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, Ian's versatility with the NBA, with the college basketball, and oh, by the way, the NFL, not only on TV, but on radio. Like, Ian, it's kind of like Kevin Harlan. Ian, this is not easy to do, going from calling games on radio to then calling it differently on TV, then coming back to the radio. That is hard stuff.
Right. So you're right. But I'm framing this in since John.
I don't like your framing.
Hold on. But wait, John and Sam.
Yeah.
You know, retired Yankees, retired from the Rangers. Now I'm talking New York play-by-play guys. I'm not talking versatility of them nationally. I'm talking who is the king of the New York play-by-play right now. So,
all right, then it's got to be the Knicks because the Knicks are on the verge of what I think is going to be a big postseason run. Breen's going to be doing huge games.
Yeah.
All right, so I give you Breen. That's fine. So
I go Breen, Ian, Gary, Howard. That's where
you know who should be in play here, but they suck, is Wischusen.
Yeah.
He is so good with the Jets.
He's very good. You know, I mean, also, by the way, I mean, Brendan Burke is unbelievable, but I can't put him up in this
not
list right
yet.
Now.
Not yet. He's so young.
Yeah. Let's go to John in New Jersey. What's going on, John?
Listen, I know he's not, you know, one of the top guys, but to not even mention Bob Papa, you know.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
The Giants suck and all, but, you know.
Well, that was just my point with Bob Wischusen, too. I wasn't 100%. Even thinking football.
Listen, I'm not.
And we got to mention.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we got to mention that guy who does the play-by-play for Rutgers. So, you know, he should be mentioned, too.
He doesn't stink, yeah. And the guy for St. John's?
Yeah. No, I like Bob. I can't. That four that I got there, it's tough to crack. That's all.
That's a pretty good four. I mean, the Ian Breen one, it's tough to get past those two.
Yeah.
Because they're that good. And that nationally well-known as well, even though that's not part of the game. But, yeah, I mean, that's, wow.
Hey, Eddie. Breen or Ian?
Ha! Eddie doesn't want to answer.
Ian.
Gary or Howie?
Gary.
Okay. Al, Breen or Ian?
I'm going Ian as well.
Gary or Howie?
Gary.
Okay, wow. Three Garys. You've taken Gary or Howie?
I'm taking Howie.
Okay.
I am taking Howie. Ian and Howie.
So it's...
But I have no issue with Breen, obviously.
So it's 3-1... So I'm the one who's got Breen, you three have Ian. You're the one who's got Howie, the rest of us have Gary.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Dave Sims, you got a lot of work to do.
We are blessed, though. You think about these. And we've got great announcers.
That's why I brought it up, because I'm thinking it's just, I mean, it's remarkable.
It's
the teams are as good as the announcers. We'd have something.
It's pretty good.
And even the best broadcast is no contest.
Well, it's SNY's. Yeah, of course.
Oh, great. I mean, they're, for whatever, again, it's chemistry. I mean, those three together, even when the games are bad in April like they were last year,
yeah,
they're still fun to watch.
Oh, of course.
They just are. Never forget Gary with the coming back from that one break. Remember that one game, that makeup game in the that afternoon?
Where when he was like, it's rock bottom. Yeah. Yes. He's like, if this isn't rock bottom, I don't know what it is.
That's the same season that they went to the NLCS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like rock bottom. No one in the stands, cold.
Amazing.
Losing streak, the whole thing.
All of that, yes. We didn't forget anybody? I mean, Matt Lachlan with the Devils. Oh. Okay, fine. You got the Brendan Burke, not enough yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Michael Kay.
Oh, Michael Kay with the Yankees, yes. Who I do. I know they get killed. I actually think, here's my issue for yes, which I think is the biggest problem. There's too many moving parts. With the Mets, you know it's going to be Gary, Keith, and Ron. Gary and Keith, Gary and Ron. It's just them three. I feel like with the Yankees, there's too many guys. Like, yeah. I think when it's Michael Kay and Paul O'Neill, it's a really good watch.
Oh, yeah. I love David Cohn, too. I'm a Cohn
and
guy.
Cohn's good, too, but there's, maybe that's it. I don't know.
Let's go to Mike in Lindenhurst. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I love Ian, but you guys are forgetting a big one.
Who? Well, we forgot K.
Jason Giambi.
Jackass.